Coming up on show 413, Fisker's 40k EV, VW add 20 more EVs, and Porsche's rapid charging battery. Well, those stories and many, many more on today's show. Morning, afternoon, good evening. In fact, wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily. It's Tuesday, the 12th of March edition. My name is Martin Lee, and I've been through every EV story that I can find today, and I've picked out the ones I think you need to know about to save you time. And thank you very much to our Patreon supporters as well. A brand new supporter on the podcast, brand new podcast producer. That's you, Doug Vowles. Thank you so much, sir. Doug, for joining up at producer level. And thank you as well, Chris Benson, previously an executive producer, increasing his support of the show. Just means that I can work even harder to spread the word about EVs all around the world. And this podcast, I can confirm, is growing pretty much every single day. I look at the stats and, you know, it's not breaking any, you know, kind of, world records in podcasting terms, but every day, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. That makes me so hopeful. Thank you, as always, to MyEV.com for help make this show. MyEV.com in the USA should be your first port of call, really. If you are thinking, right, going to buy or sell an EV in 2019, very first thing you type into your browser, MyEV.com. Right, let's get on to the news of Volkswagen. I guarantee you, by the way, when I do Volkswagen news, there's a handful of people who will message me to go, stop talking about VW, they make nothing but press releases. The only busy people in VW are those making pretty pictures in Photoshop. And I get that. I get it. I understand it. I know that there's ill feeling towards VW out there as well. There is a subtle difference between the US and Europe. I guess there's kind of a European history with VW a little bit more. I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but here we go. I'm now opening the lines for you to complain. Get your complaints in now. Let's talk about VW releasing a press release. Bear with me. VW Group is forging ahead with their change to mobility, they say, aligning with EVs. The group is planning to launch 70. Yeah, that's right, 70 electric models over 10 years. That is 20 more than the previously announced 50. As a result, the projected number of vehicles to be built on their electric platform in the next decade, they've increased the number. They think they were going to make 15 million. They think they're going to make 22 million EVs in the next 10 years. Expanding e-mobility, they say, is an important building block on the roads to being a CO2 neutral, balanced company. Volkswagen signed off a comprehensive decarbonisation programme aimed at achieving a fully CO2 neutral balance in all areas, from fleet to production to administration, by 2050. Volkswagen's thus fully committed to the Paris climate targets, they say. Well, in order to support the electric offensive, let's look at who they've signed up with. LG Chem for their batteries, SK Innovation, CATL and Samsung selected as the strategic battery cell suppliers. And in view of the what they call constantly increasing demand, that's an interesting phrase. We hear from some car makers, by the way, I'm looking at you, Toyota, who even today released a statement today saying we're making hybrid cars because there is no demand for EVs. That was, I forget the name of the chap. If I'd been better prepared, I would give you the name of the chap who said that. I've tweeted about it today somewhere on my Twitter feed. Whereas VW are saying there is a constantly increasing demand. Volkswagen is looking at the possible participation in battery cell manufacturing themselves here in Europe. Looking further ahead, they think solid-state batteries have great potential. The goal is to enable an industrial level of production with this technology with our partner QuantumScape. We will watch this space. Right, there you go. You can complain now about me covering VW stories on the podcast. They make nothing but press releases, according to some. Moving on to Porsche. We're sort of staying with VW, but staying with Porsche. The next generation of batteries are going to be arriving on the market in 2020, and will bring an increase in the ampere hours of our battery cells, say Porsche, from 37 to 47. It's going to permit them to achieve larger range and introduce them into their products. A Stephen Loveday article on InsideEVs.com today says that the Porsche CEO, Oliver Blum, revealed in a recent interview that the company has next generation batteries set for next year in 2020. Now, these new batteries will eventually make their way into Porsche's upcoming plug-in EVs. What Blum did say, that the new battery cells are going to be going into Porsche vehicles as soon as next year. The automaker is putting greater effort into getting its upcoming Taycan launched first before anything else. The automaker has 20,000 people interested in the vehicle. Now, this is where we need to be careful. I don't know if that's 20,000 people who've put down a $2,500 deposit, or whether it's 20,000 people who put their hand in the air to say, I'd like one. Because, well, I'd put my hand in the air and say, I'd bloomin' love a Porsche. I'm not sure I'm going to be affording one anytime soon. However, is that 20,000 people who've actually put money down? I'm not so sure. I'm going to look to clarify that. They are going to increase their production pursuits, though. Now, according to Electrek, the CEO of Porsche noted the company may try to get customers into temporary cars if they can, which is an interesting move. Maybe customers that have ordered the Taycan, say they want one, will be put in a Panamera plug-in hybrid if it looks like their wait time is going to be too long for their Taycan. He explained, and I quote, if there are waiting times, we might take the opportunity to gently introduce customers to the Taycan. For example, we could make a Panamera plug-in hybrid available to customers before they receive the Taycan, but right now we are awaiting the start of production before we talk about specific delivery times, end quote. And I thought that was an interesting insight into the choice of phrase used there, to gently ease our customers in. Why do customers need gentle introduction? They've ordered a full battery electric car. Give them it. Give it to them. A lot of people, I myself have been guilty of this, to say, look, and I do believe this to an extent, that plug-in hybrid cars are a great gateway into driving full EVs. But for the CEO of a big company like Porsche to say that we will gently introduce our customers by letting them drive a plug-in first. Is that slightly insulting? Is that slightly patronising? Maybe. There's no reason why you can't go from full fossil to full EV. You don't need a plug-in hybrid with a 20-mile range to drive for a little while and go, oh, that's okay. I can manage a full electric now because I've got my shopping on the battery. I went to the shops and I came back and I didn't run out of range. So, yeah, now I'm okay for a full. It's like having training wheels on a bike. Hey, this isn't a rant, by the way. I'm generally very, very positive. But it was an interesting turn of phrase. Let's move on to another very gorgeous car that might be on my Christmas list, but it won't be turning up. That's a new Bentley, a Bentley Flying Spur plug-in hybrid. The new generation of Bentley will feature a plug-in powertrain, joining the familiar V8 and V12. No, that's a W12, actually. W12 versions of Bentleys. The prototype was pictured by Motor1.com. I love their spy shots. How do Motor1 get all the best spy shots? They've just got the best sources, haven't they? They spotted what is definitely a Bentley plug-in whilst charging. It's going to have a plug-in system inherited from the Porsche Panamera 4E hybrid, says Adrian Padno for Motor1.com. It's believed the plug-in variant will also have a pure electric mode, although the battery packs juice on this, which is 14.1 kilowatt hours. That's not going to take you too far. In the case of the Panamera, about 30 miles or just under 50 Ks. The version with two fuel caps that's in the pictures will be the most economical flying spur of the bunch, if you think about Bentley not planning to install a diesel engine underneath that big, big old hood, that bonnet. I'll put a link to Motor One in the show notes. Hey, let's look at February's EV sales in the US. Mark Kane at InsideEVs.com has got the estimated February US sales figures. Of course, Tesla don't do monthly figures, but they are damn good at estimating them at Inside EVs. I don't know how they do it, but they're always so accurate. In February last month, Tesla sold about 7,650 all-electric cars. That's an estimation by Inside EVs in the US. It's 67% more than a year ago, as the overall plug-in market didn't grow much last month. Tesla further increased its market share. The Model 3, they estimate, at about 5,750. That's about 12.5 year-to-date. The Model X, about 1,100. And the Model S, about 800. Tesla holds a huge stake in the plug-in market, but how big? Well, in February, it was roughly 44% out of the total of all the cars that had plugs. About half of them were Teslas. In the case of all-electric cars, though, it's a very different story. Tesla's share is 74%, and it's expected to exceed 80% again when volume deliveries of the standard battery begin. And also, I saw a story on Inside EVs today, which I haven't got to hand, and I should have brought it out for today's podcast. I think the Model 3, let me get this right, the Model 3 is now the best-selling plug-in car of all time in the US, as of this month's estimation. because the vault is now out of production. So I think it just went above the vault. I'll dig it out for tomorrow's podcast. That was a fantastic graph to see. I retweeted that one today. Hey, here in Europe, the Peugeot E208 is going to be a really important car. I'm gutted that more places around the world won't get this. The Peugeot 208 is definitely going to be a popular car, whatever powertrain it's got. But the electric version they're talking about, I think, is really sensibly spec'd, and it looks like it's going to have a really sensible price. According to the French auto magazine Largus, the Peugeot E208 is going to have a starting price of €31,000. And as I talk and try and fill the gap right now, I'm unlocking my phone and opening my currency app. And as I type in €31,000, should have done my preparation. I've been out of radio for a couple of weeks. This would never have happened when I was doing it full time. I'd be properly prepared. €31,000 is a direct translation to $35, £26,000, about 50,000 Aussie dollars and 45,000 Canadian dollars. Obviously, there's taxes and all those kind of things. That's just a very crude translation. The Peugeot E208 is coming, and it's going to be, they hope, 15% of the cars that Peugeot sell. That's less, by the way, 15% in that segment, less than the Renault Zoe sells, the equivalent. The Zoe does very, very well for Renault in that segment. According to Pedro at Push EVs, who brings us this story today, the Peugeot E208 is undeniably an appealing electric car. However, he says, I think that the Renault Zoe 2.0, that's going to be coming... Paris Motor Show? It's going to be more successful. Not only the production capacity for it will be higher, but the specs are going to be better, he says, of the Renault Zoe. According to the previous article we saw, Zoe 2.0 isn't keeping that 41 kilowatt hour battery. It's going to get a 61 kilowatt hour battery. That puts it in Kia e-Niro range, Indy Kona. So, Kia e-Soul territory as well. Moreover, the 22 kilowatt onboard charger gives it unrivaled practicality, he says. And I have to agree with that, by the way. The little Renault Zoe, I've got one myself, great little car, and it charges on AC. They're going to add the CCS combo plug to it, like Tesla have done with the Model 3 here in Europe, but they're going to keep, this is the clever bit, they're going to keep 22 kilowatt onboard charging. Why is that important? It's important because there are so many places with, in France, 22 kilowatt posts, France being a big market for the car. If they release the next Renault Zoe, again, built on the new Clio platform, a bit bigger, more tech, level 2 driving, so smart cruise control and lane keep and all that kind of stuff. It just wouldn't sell if it couldn't use the technology, the infrastructure that's in France. Now, Pedro says in one of the comments back to one of his readers on his website, and I quote, while DC fast chargers are rare and expensive, public 22 kilowatt chargers are common and free to use. It's why I think 22 kilowatt onboard charging is a great way to save money. Charge for free and relatively fast at commercial areas. And I think that's interesting. In France, those 22 kilowatt posts, they are very widely installed and a lot of them are free. And 22 kilowatts is a really interesting speed. It's not so fast that you would feel guilty leaving it, because whenever I'm on a rapid charger, I hate leaving the car, because if someone turns up and they're desperate, I don't mind leaving it as long as I can leave it and get to the next one. But rapid chargers are so few and far between at the moment as we build out the infrastructure. But a 22 kilowatt charger, well, it's not really rapid charging. Can we call it semi-rapid? Because I don't mind leaving that for a couple of hours to then go to the movies, go bowling, go shopping for an hour or two. If there's enough of them in the car park, I'm just fine leaving. It's fine. It's like, it's not like being on a 7 kilowatt post, but I don't feel bad. Like someone's going to turn up and they think, oh, you know, it's hogging the rapid charger. I'll put a link to Push EVs in the show notes. Oh, hey, recent experience for me at the weekend. I needed to dash in and just get some juice into the car. And I'm not picking on hybrid drivers. There was a Volkswagen Passat GTE, nice car, on a rapid charger and just being left. And I'm like, oh man, not only have you got a tiny battery, also you've got an engine, and you can charge at very, very slow charge speeds. And they'd wandered off, and I'm like, this is frustrating. I wasn't that desperate that I couldn't make it to the next one, which is about 5 minutes away from me, so I did that. But it's like a courtesy thing. If I had a plug-in hybrid and I was on a 50 kilowatt plus rapid, I don't think I'd leave the car just in case. Hey, let's talk about Tesla and batteries. There's little doubt Tesla is going to explode in China. There's a lot the company needs to put in place for starters, finishing the Gigafactory 3 in Shanghai, but also assuring the battery supply is there, reports Stephen Loveday for InsideEVs.com. He says that we always take these automotive news announcements with a grain of salt. Tesla's CEO Elon Musk usually has the correct answer on Twitter rather than speculation. Sad but true, but still, it's been reported in the news, so let's look at the story and share what's been reported. In this case, it's positive news. Automotive News say that CATL has been discussing the required specifications for the batteries with the team at Tesla. The people said that asking not to be named because the talks are still private. No guarantee that an agreement will come at the end of these talks, though. Tesla's in talks about ordering rechargeable batteries from Chinese battery maker, CATL, for the Model 3. Now, the Model 3 base spec is going to be made in Shanghai, by the way, to get the costs down on it, and they need some batteries. And staying with Tesla as well, a recent S3 filing that's been submitted to the SEC in the US has revealed that Tesla is acquiring their own car carriers and trailers from a Californian-based trucking company. They're using $13 million of Tesla stock to buy them, says Simon at Teslarati. Well, Tesla's acquisition of Central Valley Transport's trucks is really going to help the company optimize their delivery of the vehicles they're making. The electric car maker's efforts to improve its delivery processes was highlighted in the third quarter of last year at a time when Tesla was getting the hang of producing the Model 3 at scale and then getting the hang of distributing them. Elon Musk noted then that Tesla's moved from production hell to what he called delivery logistics hell, referencing the company's struggles to get the vehicles it was producing into the customer's hands. To help the company address its logistics issues, Elon Musk said it even started building its own car carriers. I'm not seeing too many examples of that, unless you can correct me online. I'll put a link to Teslarati in the show notes. And the final story today is all about Fisker. Let's talk about a $40,000 affordable mass volume EV. And it's being announced on March the 18th. Not long to wait. They say they're close to a 40,000. The car they release will be close to 40,000. So maybe that's 42, 43. It'll be a pure electric vehicle. A teaser picture has been shown from Fisker and tweeted by Henrik Fisker on Twitter a couple of days ago, based on the teaser photo and his own comments about the car as well. We're expecting a small crossover built in the US, launched in 2021, and it'll be the company's volume model, eventually selling for several hundred thousand sales a year, says Autoblog. That's a lot. It will compete somewhere around the BMW X3 category. Nice car, by the way, if you're buying a fossil car. I mean, don't buy it, but nice. And of course, if you're talking that, you've got to talk the Tesla Model Y. I'll put a link in the show notes to that tweet from Henrik Fisker. Hey, talking Tesla Model Y, I can confirm a couple of things, by the way. Firstly, I'm working on a project to help other people around the world make podcasts about cars, and that's keeping me really busy at the moment, which is the reason I couldn't go to Los Angeles this week, because I had an invite to the Model Y reveal, 8 p.m. Pacific, Thursday night. Can I get on a plane? Can I be there? It would have been amazing, but I have just committed to a new project, and I'm working really hard on that at the moment. And I'm super pleased with how quickly things are moving on that. So I can't just up sticks for 3 days and not do that. So obviously a difficult decision, but it would have been amazing. Obviously, it was amazing to get an invite, and I would love to have gone along, and I would have gone along with one of the supporters of this podcast, by the way, who we're going to get on, because he's going to be there, and so we're going to get him on. Now, it's Lars. Lars Hoffman, I've talked about before, and he makes his own show about Tesla. It's En Español, by the way. If you're a Spanish speaker, you can hear. Look, I'll tell you all about it later in the week, but Lars is going to be there. He's catching up with some of the guys like Ryan McCaffrey and those guys on who've got podcasts and YouTube channels, and it would have been great to join them as well, by the way. Couldn't do it this time. Maybe next time. Gutting that I couldn't go. However, look, this is the good news. Lars, he's going to be there. And as soon as all of the dust has settled at the Model Y reveal event on Thursday, we're going to get him on the phone, get him on Skype, and record an extra special edition of the podcast with his first hand observations of actually being there. Someone who will be in the crowd and can tell us exactly what it was like. An alternative perspective that you won't hear anywhere else. So I'm pleased that's happening. And thank you very much, Lars, for committing to that. Looking forward to getting him on the show. Wish I could have been there. Maybe next time. Hey, let's talk about our question of the week this time. This week, thanks to MyEV.com. Our question of the week is this. What slogan, motto or catchphrase would you put on a T-shirt to say something about electric cars? What do you reckon? What slogo, slogo? Yes. What slogo, motto or catchphrase? What an idiot. Slogan, motto or catchphrase would you print on a T-shirt to say something about EVs? Let me know. You can email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. There's always the socials that you can feed back, and also the comment section of YouTube and Facebook. Well, thank you to 199 patrons. No, it's 200. I haven't updated my notes. Thank you to 200. We made it! 200 patrons of the podcast who fund this show means that I get to make it. It's a real labour of love. Yes, it takes a long time, but I'm never going to complain about it. And if you want to download any of the previous 412 episodes, please do so, because they're all online for free, thanks to our Patreon supporters funding that storage. You want to catch up on the socials over the next 24 hours? I'd love to hear from you. You can do that. Just search EV News Daily on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. I should be the first result. In the meantime, have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. And please remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.